Welcome to Elton and John's La Liga Weekly. Just for a moment there, when Granada scored against Real Madrid, I thought we might be able to call it. But no, Hazard to Odriozola, and Los Blancos were safe. Watch out this weekend for Gareth Bale parachuting in with the winner in Bilbao. And then Luka Jovic arrives on a motorbike to score with a diving header against Villarreal. Just like the end of an action movie. Or maybe not. Maybe Atleti's soul-searching art house will prevail. A tale of suffering overcome. Every single game, no matter how well they play at the beginning, it is always agony at the end. And what about Barca? Is that done? Sergio Leon as the executioner? Did it come to that? The relegation story is still unresolved, although it would appear that Javier Calleja is a genius and not Fran Escriba. Tolkien. Eibar got a point, but was it too late? Because Huesca got a win, and they pulling off the great escape. It would be appropriate, given that Pacheta was wearing what seemed to be prison-issued sweatshirt and jeans as they beat Pacheta. How much did they pay the guy?
He's still not the worst dresser. there's the Sergio by the lead.
Well, Sergio needs to buy bigger clothes. Put it that way. Yeah, there we are. So you came for fashion tips, but stick around for the analysis of La Liga. Thank you to the Patreons. If you want to join in, it's patreon.com/LTEL. We'll be back throughout the summer with stuff. But, of course, Terry, we've got the denouement of the great drama to come. So we're a little nearer. A Barca, it's hard to make a case now, isn't it?
No chance. They're out the running. I mean, you look at the total points they can accumulate. Real Madrid and Atletico clearly will get more than Barcelona can. Barcelona 76 can get to 82. Atletico already on 80. Yeah. Real Madrid 78. So yeah, Barcelona,
that's not all happening, is it?
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not happening. There's as much chance of Barcelona winning it as Sevilla now, which is no chance. I guess we're going to start with Barcelona.
Yeah, let's start there, shall we? Because again, it looked all right, didn't it? But messed bugging it up, basically, to put it
plainly. Yeah, exactly. I can't. It's hard to understand how they raced in 2-goal lead and deserved. It could have been 3 or 4. Yes, you might be at risk of conceding a goal, but don't. You know, concede the second. Then you get away with it by getting the third goal. And you're thinking, right, now do some a touch defending. Have that mentality to see your game through. You've wasted a 2-goal lead. And all the time I'm saying this, massive credit to Levante. But it's in Barcelona's hands. It was in Barcelona's hands when they lost against Granada in similar fashion as well, where they just don't appear to have any sense of game management, you know, in terms of just winning a game of football. You know, you got your goals, you scored 3 goals away from home against Levante and somehow still don't win the game. You know, against Granada, they scored early, they had other chances. It was far too casual and they get punished. So that it's to the extent, I mean, we talk about the changes that Ronald Koeman has made recently, but it is now to the extent that his job is on the line, I think. It has to be. Because you've seen the way they've capitulated from a winning position. I mean, when they played Granada at home, I thought then they'd win this, and I could see them the way around that time they were playing pretty good as well. The cup final against Athletic Club, they were outstanding. The heavy victory against Real Sociedad, where they're absolutely brilliant. And I could only see one winner. So I didn't envisage this drastic deterioration. And we, you know, I guess we have to look at it to try to understand why they've suddenly they're shipping in goals left, right, and centre, and they're very fragile at the back. Is it the three at the back system? Is it the personnel? I have to say, you know, a little bit too much rotation with the defensive players, where he's obviously not satisfied, which then leads to, you know, a lack of understanding between each other's play. So it's astonishing actually how they've deteriorated so quickly.
You can put it in the category of them messing up in their big games in a way, can't you? The big games in the Champions League, they messed up. The Clasicos couldn't beat Atleti. Did the cup final, fine. So you're a tick on that one. But then these pressure games, which, so you can't just blame it on the system, but can you? Because they were losing, they weren't playing that system earlier in the season when they messed up those games. So combination of tactics, combination of not being good enough, and a little bit of fragility, I guess. Is that fair?
And complacency, I think, comes into it as well still. When you take an early lead against Granada and mess it up, you take a two-goal lead against Levante and mess it up. They are scoring goals, but they're not really, they weren't killing teams off. They could have killed Granada off in that game where they lost at home. That was the turning point, I think, because we all expected them to beat Granada at home. They didn't. And then it was, got Real Madrid coming up and, this game and that game and Atletico Madrid, and they've messed it up. I think that ultimately there has to be a lack of quality still somewhere in the team that's causing these problems. So maybe there might be one or two more changes ahead than we thought, depending on who's the manager, depending on their finances, and depending on how they want to play going forward. Is he going to remain the three at the back? The potential's there. But Dembele at right wing back was almost like, we're not going to have to do any defending against Levante, so we can play an out-and-out winger as a right wing back. I've made the point on the podcast, I don't think Jordi Alba particularly likes playing. He looks confused playing as a left wing back instead of a normal overlapping left back. And the choice of central defenders has to be called into question. The return of Piqué, which you'd think would enhance Barcelona's performances, has probably had a detrimental effect. Is Longley good enough? I think Araujo's a separate issue. I think you can't pin it on him. I think he's genuine top class and one that whoever's manager should rely on. Mingueza has been pretty good but is he good enough to take Barcelona to the next level, or is he going to be a backup player like a Nacho at Real Madrid that's versatile and can play in different positions? I'd probably put him in that category. Umtiti, we don't see him. Whenever we see, he's been awful. So there are issues. And then we have the big issue is Sergio Roberto. I've never, ever thought he was a right-back at all. I think he's a really good player. He doesn't have the pace to play for Barcelona as a full-back. His movement, he's intelligent when Barcelona have good possession. He's a really, really good footballer. He could be he is a really, really good midfield player. Not first choice in Barcelona, but that's his position, central midfield. But when you see him come on, and I've tried to work out where he was playing, John, and I'm baffled. It looked like at times he was right back in a four. It looked like times he was right-sided of the three central defenders. And then he went into midfield and then was brought off again. It was tough on him, but that summed up that performance and the decision making from Ronald Koeman. It's baffling.
Do you think Koeman will stick around? I heard Guillaume talking about it, basically saying that he doesn't think that there's no sign that they're looking elsewhere. That there's been no move to get Xavi in, or no talks, no rumours, no agents buzzing around. So do you think Koeman will start the season?
I don't know, if I'm being perfectly honest. And I have to be honest about this. I think if there is, we wouldn't know about it. And there would be stuff behind the scenes. Not everything, and I know for a fact, not everything that goes on at a football club does end up in the press.
Yeah.
So I think there is something they must be looking at closely. The problem will be obvious replacements. And also, on one hand, you're looking at it and thinking, this was always going to be a difficult season for Barcelona. And up until a month ago, 3 weeks ago, you probably would, I would imagine, majority of people would agree that they were surprised with how Koeman had done. When you look at the transformation in terms of people like Pedri, Mingueza, Araujo, players like that coming out of nowhere and playing really well, it was not all managers would have given those youngsters the opportunities that he has. So he had credit, in the bank, but it has fell apart in the last two or three weeks of the season. So I think it must be something they're looking at closely. They don't want to be also Rans. I know they've got a Copa del Rey, but they had a fantastic chance of an unlikely La Liga title. But you know what? They haven't been top once this season. I looked at the pattern this year of the confusion of La Liga, and when you look at it, there hasn't actually been that much confusion. Atletico have been top since week 12, apart from 1 week. They've been there, so I think it's obvious they deserve to win it. But for Barcelona not to have been top at any stage of the season shows you where they started, where they're going to end up. And it's, they're probably par for the course. But I think being in that position of, you know, having it in their hands to win the title with not a lot of games remaining, and they're blowing it in the style that they're blowing it, then I think Koeman does come into, to, you know, under pressure to keep his job for next year. But who are the obvious candidates? Xavi is, there was talk this week, wasn't there? His contract was up, but he signed a new one. He wants to stick around for the World Cup, but I don't get that. His team are not playing in the World Cup. No, and his team are not playing in it.
Yeah.
We don't know if there's a clause in it. If Barcelona want him, they can get him. If he wants to go to Barcelona, he goes to Barcelona. He is the obvious candidate to replace Koeman, keeping it in mind that would they want an Allegri coming in and saying, yeah, I like Araujo, but I want a new centre-half. I like Pedri, but I want better than Pedri. You know, I you know, don't want to, because Ansu Fati hopefully comes back from injury as well. So they will want a manager that wants those traditions of bringing players through the youth system or players they've bought at young ages to keep playing in the first team. So who knows what's happening at Barcelona. If they got the money to sack Koeman to get another manager and stuff like that, which is doubtful, that might save him. So it's going to be an interesting summer.
Yes.
Regarding Barcelona. Perhaps not as interesting as last summer, because that was ridiculous, wasn't it? Luis Suarez leaving, going to Atletico Madrid, Messi. Was he going to leave? Was he going to stay? Rakitic being shipped out and other people.
We've still got Messi to do that this year, haven't we? Yeah. You know, it's gone quiet, hasn't it? But, you know.
The signs were he was staying, but will he look at this running and look at it from a different perspective? That would be interesting to see as well.
Yeah. Right, but first we have, of course, absolute knife-edge title to be done yet, isn't it? Or is it? So Atleti, oh, man. Well, they were brilliant for what? How long for?
And great to watch.
Yeah.
Great to watch.
And scored good goals. It's all against Real Sociedad, of course, the other night. 2-0 up. And at what point? When did the switch go? When did they start hanging on for dear life? And then, obviously, Real Sociedad got the goal quite late on.
80 seconds.
And then, and then at the end, you know, Simeone's on the pitch kicking the ball. He runs down the it's like, oh, it's, how did he get that?
He left poor old Aguasil hanging there, didn't he, at the end? Everybody loves Aguasil. Even though Aguasil, the Real Sociedad manager, is the most polite, the most warm coach in La Liga. He shakes hands and hugs everybody before games and after games. And when his team got dumped by Atletico Madrid, Simeone dumped on him as well. And he just sprinted up the tunnel. Aguasil was then looking round to shake hands with Nelson Vivas, I think, who politely did a fist bump and a hug. Oh, poor old Aguasil was distraught, the fact that the opposition managers just left him hanging. But it just goes to show, doesn't it, the pressure that how it you know, and for Atletico Madrid, it's still a massive thing to win the Liga. I mean, I know they've made great progress in recent year, in the last decade since Simeone has been there to challenge the top two. But if they were to win La Liga, I mean, you know, 7 years after the last win, it doesn't happen that often. And for them, you can see the pressure is building and building to the extent that, you know, Real Sociedad recognised it. And they had a go in the second half. They had nothing to lose. It was an awkward lineup as well from Aguasil, who decided to rest one or two players. But they've got a really good squad for the young players that suddenly realised that, hang on, you know, we can sense the apprehension in Atletico Madrid and let's go for it. And took Suarez off at 2-0, 80 minutes, and then they conceded in the 82nd minute. I loved watching Suarez sitting there fuming and Simeone. I'm sure if they win the league, they'll celebrate together and whatever, but that's an uneasy relationship between those two. I mean, Simeone, Suarez isn't playing at his best and he hasn't been firing on all cylinders for a while, but he led his team well. He set up one of the goals in the victory against Real Sociedad and played, you know, reasonably well. But at 2-0, you know, maybe, you know, you could understand the change, particularly two more games left. He is your go-to man to get him goals still. You still rely on him, so take him off with a 2-0 lead, 10 minutes to go. Let's rest him for the next game. But Suarez just didn't want it, that he was sitting there shaking his head, fuming at Simeone. So they eventually scraped over the line. But it was, you're right, for 80 minutes, they were excellent. Real Sociedad had chances in the second half, but good defending, good goalkeeping. You couldn't see a comeback, a genuine comeback.
Except it always happens.
Yeah, exactly. And literally, they're hacking the ball clear, weren't they? And, you know, it's hanging on for dear life. Simeone shouting at the referee to blow the final. So it was great, great television.
So,
Atletico, no doubt, deserved that win.
Yeah, so Osasuna at home and Valladolid away.
Yep.
On paper, you could almost design those two games. I know Valladolid might be fighting for their life and that last game, but Osasuna nothing. But it just doesn't work that way, does it? It hasn't worked that way throughout. Because you're right, you could look at this season and say, oh, look, Atleti were top and they stayed top. But, you know, this run-in, probably since January, they have been... It's like they were 50 yards in front and then they, you know, then their shoes fell off or something and, and they're sort of limping towards...
Talk about hamstrings.
Yeah. And you're just watching thinking, can they hold on to, you know, can they do it? And in theory, just win those two games and it's done, isn't it?
I think Valladolid will be down by then.
Right, yeah.
I know it's only two games. At some stage, someone's going to have to go down. Someone's going to have to win the league. With two games left and we've got... We're none the wiser. No one's been relegated. No one's won the league. The top four's done. There's a race for fifth, sixth and seventh, which is good. It's an incredible league season. It really is. I think Valladolid, they play Real Sociedad away this weekend. I haven't seen them get anything in that game either. Hmm. So Valladolid could go into the last game against Atletico, relegated. As you say, try and pick two teams to play against. Osasuna, I admire Osasuna. They're plucky, they've got talent, they've got a small budget, of course, but they you know, fight in every single game. Would they raise their game to be the party spoilers against Atletico Madrid? I don't think they'll raise their game, but I think they'll be competitive. So you're right, the two games they've got left, Osasuna and Valladolid.
Say it. Nothing can go wrong. Go on.
No, definitely not. Because as you said, even at Granada, Real Madrid, when Real Madrid are thrashing them, Granada are awful. Suddenly Granada get a goal and you think, not again. You're looking at the score, it's 20 minutes to go. There's a chance here, you know, from Real Madrid's perspective, they didn't give Granada an opportunity to really get back in the game. But who knows what's going to happen this season. It is utterly ridiculous. I mean, can you imagine it? If Atletico don't win it from this position, with those two games left, we'll be talking about this, I was going to say, in 20, 30 years' time. I'm hoping I'm 20, 30 years' time talking about anything, let alone Atletico Madrid blowing this lead. But it would be catastrophic for everyone. So.
It would go. I mean, there have been massive chokes before in La Liga, haven't they? Yep. Classically in the Cruyff era. When the dream team won those titles, a couple of them were sort of last minute dramatic, and they would go into that category, I guess, from here, wouldn't it? If Atleti don't win it, but we'll see what happens. So Real Madrid,
especially, I said to you, the amount of time they've been top,
and
Real Madrid have been top 1 week, Barcelona not top at all. Real Sociedad were the only other team that had a little period of time at the top of the league when we were out of sync with the games that were played. You remember some were two games behind and started their seasons later. So at this Atletico Madrid, if they were to go, you know, this position since week 12 and then blow it and Real Madrid top it on the last day, it'd be an incredible story. It'd be an incredible story if Atletico win it because of the story about Luis Suarez.
Yeah.
And I still stand by what I said last week in the podcast about Lopetegui. I look at Sevilla, they got another win. They're still hanging on in there. Then they're not going to win it, of course. But when you look at the I wouldn't say the falterings, the failings of Real Madrid and Barcelona this season, if Atletico win it, they've capitalised on that. Sevilla, I think, could have done as well.
Can I just read you, David St. George, one of our Patreons, he sort of agrees with you. Generally, people who didn't agree with you. That was the general consensus.
Yeah, I get that when I made that comment.
So he says, Lopetegui is one of the best, but I think he has missed an opportunity this year. It seems like a good fit for Sevilla. Hard to find a better coach, Allegri, Rafa, etc., to take that job. Or is it time for Diego Martinez? Well, don't give us a detailed answer. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do for Patreons, because obviously there's no midweek next week, because we're going simultaneous kickoffs now for the last two weekends. Yeah. So we'll do a Patreon's Q&A back in the next week. But we need to talk about Real Madrid in detail, Terry. So they've got Athletic away, Villarreal at home. In theory, you know, in theory, Real Madrid should be able to beat everybody, shouldn't they? And as you said, they certainly got the goals the other day. As Zidane said after the game, it was good to see a couple of players who aren't regular goal scorers in Rodrigo and Odriozola scoring goals. Gift of a last one, obviously, when Rui Silva came.
Rui Silva.
Yeah, what on earth he was doing, who knows. But so Real Madrid got there. And yeah, good performance. And they're still there hovering, aren't they?
Yeah, they were really good. Because we have respect for Granada.
Yeah.
And when you see the lineup of Real Madrid and you're not sure who's playing at right back and stuff like that, and you're thinking if you're Diego Martinez, I know Granada haven't got an awful lot to play for and they're running on empty, but you would probably, I think quite rightly, look at the lineups for the two teams and think, well, if you ever had a chance of beating Real Madrid at home, this is the evening for it, you know? And I kind of questioned the motives of Zidane, or how much motivation he had for the title race, to be honest, when I saw the lineup. But I'm glad to say, totally wrong. The young players, Miguel Gutierrez, the left back, you can kind of see why they allowed Reguilon to move on now. Hopefully, we're going to see a lot more of him. Great pass from Modric's goal. But they attacked the game so well. You know, with the young players coming in, it did give them, they were a little bit more vibrant. And they were terrific from start to finish, Real Madrid. As I say, a much changed team. Loads of players missing through injury, players missing that were on the bench that could have played. Actually, when they finished the game, their team was stronger, wasn't it, than the one that started it, in theory. I mean, as Asensio comes on, Hazard comes on, and you're looking at them thinking, oh, 20 minutes to go, and they've, you know, it's a little bit more like a genuine Real Madrid team. But, you know, Marvin Parker, right back, who's a winger, he played well. Odriozola came on and played well and scored the goal. It was Vinicius and Rodrigo lining up alongside Benzema. He could have picked Hazard and Asensio. So it was a risky team choice from Zidane. I couldn't work out at times where Valverde was playing. He's playing as a number 10, a number 9, number 2. He was playing wide on the right. And it just looked like a fluent Real Madrid performance. And remarkable, actually, when you think about the players that were playing out of position, the players that haven't played much, young players playing in the team. It's remarkable how much better they were than Granada. And yet, literally, before kickoff, I'm looking in thinking, this is going to be tricky for Real Madrid because of the lineup, players that are missing. But they were brilliant, fantastic. Fully deserved the win. And thankfully, taking the fight to the at least the last two games. The weekend game Sunday, all game Sunday, 5:30, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a tough game for Real Madrid again. I have to be honest. Athletic, away from home, always a tough game. So, you know, Real Madrid are going to go into need a performance level like we saw against Granada, and probably some more if they want to get the win to take it on to the last game.
Yeah, because Athletic will fancy that, won't they? They'll be thinking, hang on, if we beat them here, that's it. That's it. Could be done, couldn't it? So,
yeah.
As long as Atleti don't mess up at the same time. So there's a real incentive there for Athletic, isn't there?
And we're going to have this weekend and next weekend, particularly this weekend, because nothing is settled. Scores flashing in. We're all going to be looking at it's really old school, isn't it? Retro.
Yeah.
Retro weekend football. All games kicking off at the same time. No one getting an advantage, which I felt there was slightly this week. But, you know, it was good getting to see, you know, games on Tuesday, games on Wednesday, game on Thursday, games on Thursday. We did miss the middle one, didn't we? That was sort of left hanging in no man's land, that we knew the game was going on. Show it! But we were sort of, you know, it was so much to talk about. I mean, we haven't spoken about Betis being Granada on Monday night.
No, sorry.
We were talking about Granada's game last night. It's just been non-stop football.
Yeah. But we need to do the
lockdown. Return of football.
It's too interesting, Terry. That's terrific. The problem. So let's, hang on, I'll share this for the Patreons. Because we need to do the bottom. So let's have a look at the bottom of the league, shall we? So it's still not done, is it? I mean, Alaves, that win was enormous, wasn't it? I haven't done the sums, actually. I wonder if they might be safe, technically, if teams play each other. So Eibar have got 30 points, Elche 30 points. They're head-to-head with Elche. Head-to-heads could yet change if more teams are on the same number of points. I haven't done my homework, Terry. I'm sorry, I don't know. I haven't worked out the combinations.
We've probably both been guilty of looking at the top of the league, weren't we?
Yeah.
Head-to-heads and stuff.
But
like
then Valladolid, there's too many. Valladolid, exactly. Is the lesson, kids. If there's too much maths homework, don't do it. Valladolid 31. And then the other side of the line, then Huesca 33. Getafe 34, just refused to get any points. And then Alavés 35. Poor. It's so much on a knife edge, isn't it?
With four games to go, I predicted Elche, Valladolid and Eibar to go down, and they're in the position they are now. That's the bottom three, and I love watching Valladolid and what they've done in the last couple of years. But when I looked at their final four fixtures, when it comes down to the crunch. And you're thinking, oh, they're good, they can stay up. No, now we can look at the fixtures. And I looked at Valladolid's fixtures and I thought, oh, you know, and they've to start off with Valencia, they have four left. Valencia away, Villarreal at home, they've lost both of those. They've got Real Sociedad away, Atletico at home. I think it'll be done by the time they play, when they finish playing Real Sociedad. So unfortunately, they're going to suffer. Eibar, a little recovery, but they needed a win against Betis to give themselves genuine hope. Getafe are the surprise one, though, aren't they? Mm-hmm. I mean, when I set off on this, they had 34 points. I thought, you know, four games left. I could see them getting a couple of wins. I don't now. You know,
their fixtures are good, though, aren't they? At home to Levante and then, what is it, away to Granada, which, again, if you are picking the fixtures against, you know, Granada tired, mid-table, Levante good on their day, but, you know, a little bit willowy, then, you know, they're not bad ones to pick.
That's why I said that the four they had left was Eibar, Celta, Levante and Granada. Mm. So I thought, oh, there was a couple of wins there, no problem. But they've lost the first two.
Yeah.
So confidence is at an all-time low. They're panicking now because they're just slipping closer and closer. And they know that, you know, likes of Huesca, Alaves have found form, Huesca, you know, believe they can win another game. Another win for Huesca sees them safe. So it's panic time now at the bottom. Eibar got Valencia away, Barcelona at home. That's why I always thought that Eibar would struggle. Valencia away, it's possible. Barcelona won't have anything to play for, but it's still going to be a tough game. It's Alaves, massive win against Elche for Alaves. And Calleja has done the trick. I thought when they lost to Eibar recently that, this is a bit of a slip-up. As that new manager bounced up, but it hasn't. Joselu, Luis Rioja were not only scored, but they were fantastic in that game. A bit of a surprise that Lucas Perez didn't start. I don't know why it is a surprise, because we're just basing that on previous history of being a more than decent footballer in La Liga, but this year hasn't contributed much to Alaves. And they fully deserved that win. So that was a tough loss for Elche. Getafe losing to Celta 1-0 with a Nolito goal. And Getafe's goal scoring is
poorly,
really surprising this year.
Yeah. What is it, 26? Appalling. I think, is it?
Yep, Getafe scored 26 goals this season. So they are the lowest. Yeah, they're the lowest in the division. So that hasn't been a feature of Bordalas. It's damaging for him as well.
Yeah.
You know, he's linked with a Valencia job. I don't think he's ever going to be a popular choice for an attractive football club.
No.
You know, no. But he could have done with another, but, you know, his stock was high when he got them into Europe and they performed remarkably well. But this season, the deterioration, you shouldn't let Jorge Molina go. Who'd have thought letting a 38-year-old would be so damaging to your, goal scoring exploits. So it's terrific. We've got two, as I said, two games to go. Nothing is settled yet.
Yes. Did you see? I think we'll leave it there for now and stop talking about the football. However, did you notice that ESPN have signed this new deal in the USA for 8 years as well? So I think, we don't live there, do we? But I think it's generally seems to be good news. Although obviously, we always forget that obviously there are people who worked on the Be In Sports programme, who obviously will now be in a different situation, as we've discovered ourselves over the years, just by nothing that they've done wrong themselves, but bigger audience, wider reach for the league always seems to be, just seems, you know, it seems the obvious thing is always just chase the wider audience for your product and trust it that it will do well. Darren, one of our patrons, asks a couple of good questions. Will they revisit the games in the USA? Possible, isn't it? And will kickoff times change? As he points out, could actually benefit the Europeans as well. Because obviously those early kickoff times on a Saturday are sort of thinking about the Asian market, aren't they?
Yeah.
Whereas now, if you've got a big money deal in the US, the influence might have to shift that way, mightn't it?
Yeah, I mean, with those midday 1 o'clock kickoffs, will be what, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning Eastern time in America. You go about 8 hours, another 3 hours further.
Yeah.
In on the West Coast, you're talking up, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning kickoffs in the America. So that's, yeah, I guess there's something they're going to have to look at. The 10 o'clock kickoffs in Spain this week, they'll be handy for the US audience as well. I think that the issue seems to be with the how people were allowed to view it in the United States, wasn't it, on the carriage that Be In Sports was on.
Yeah.
And I don't think many people had access to it. And I think that was always a big issue. So it'd be interesting to see how it evolves in the States. You would imagine that, you know, the obvious games will always be an attraction. I'm sure they have been for Be In as well. But I think that, you know, there'll be a general following, you know what people are like. We've had it in the UK. People pick different teams. You know, they don't all support Real Madrid and Barcelona and Atletico Madrid for, you know, bizarre reasons. Sometimes they'll choose one of the smaller clubs. Maybe somewhere where they've visited, been on holidays, seen the team. Therefore, you get, you know, Malaga supporters that, you know, people go down to the Costa del Sol and taking in a game in a Dr. Malaga, and I'm sure that's going to be the same with the
certainly a very American good,
audience. South very American good time, players as well.
Very good time for Atleti to win the league if you're moving into a big new audience, because you're right, all of those things are factors, but people do generally support, if it's not your local club, you want to support a successful club, is the usual way, unless you've got some kind of emotional link there. So, good time to win the league, Atleti. But let's see if that happens, shall we? Shall we come back and talk about it if that happens, Terry? That's probably a good idea, isn't it?
We'll definitely come back. Even if it doesn't happen, we'll be back.
Yes.
unless it's something you're not telling me, John. Dumping me live on a podcast.
Yeah, no, I'm not moving to America to earn a fortune, no. Right, so, but I will be watching the football this weekend. So they're all on same time. So it's 5:30 UK time, isn't it?
Yes.
Whatever it is.
I'm on La Liga TV on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday evening on the programme, I guess, previewing the games.
Yeah.
And then back on Sunday evening on the post-match stuff.
Right.
So that'd be fantastic. That means now that I've got to watch 10 games at once to appear knowledgeable when I'm on the programme afterwards. Of course, I won't have the access that they're going to have in the studio, because I guess they'll be looking at different... So I'll be watching one game, I guess, and then which game they're going to pick, I don't know. I'll have to somehow be across what's happening in all the other games.
You can open up.
No point me going on talking about one game and then every 9 other matches, I just sit there and go, no comment.
Line of duty. Yeah. but you can open up your laptop, can't you, and get the Premier Sports app on your laptop. And then they might have something on Premier Sports 1. They might have a different game on Premier Sports 1. That's what they were doing.
Exactly. Laptop, so. iPad, television.
Yeah.
I could have two different... I've got two tellies. And I could run between two televisions, a laptop and an iPad.
Yeah.
If there's four games on, that'd be handy.
Yeah. Right. Anyway.
And I can bring Club Call if we're talking about the old school.
I'll keep in touch with
Club Call and Teletext.
I once, not commentated, but I, when I, in my early days at Talk Sport, when it just launched, I covered a game from Club Call because they, this is the weirdest thing. It was Rangers versus PSV Eindhoven, probably in the Champions League. And they, for some reason, they arranged to get the sound into the building, but not the pictures.
compensated on sale.
There was another game on, so I was doing reports into, I can't remember what the main game was. So I had the sound and had to ring club call to find out what was happening, because this was before clubs had regular websites and whatever. And then there was a goal while I was on live. So it was, and Rangers had scored. So they obviously just erupts and it's the biggest cheer ever in the world. And I've no idea what's happened because I'm not watching the game. So I said, "Oh, it's a goal!" And then I basically then had to ring club, desperately ringing club call, you know, to get them to do their update. And eventually, yes, it turned out they had scored. Yes, thankfully.
We'd have to do a podcast on the trials and tribulations of commentating, co-commentating off tube. Because it's a given now, isn't it, that particularly since the pandemic, it's opened it up that people are not at every game.
Yeah, they should be. The world feed, there is no excuse for the world, for your league's world feed to be. I mean, I'll say it because you can't, because you work for La Liga TV. They should be at every game. I will say it. The Premier League world feed, they are at every game. The reporter, the commentator was there. Throughout the pandemic, I get it. But that it's not new for the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, in all those years at Sky, it was only ever the Clásicos that were done on site, wasn't it? And we did them from a studio, and that's the truth of it. And world feeds, because more and more people around the world are taking the world feed, you just miss stuff. I mean, there was the one the other week where and I had a lot of sympathy for the commentators in that, but you miss all sorts of stuff all the time.
Yeah,
all the richness. It is so much harder, and so the world feed should be on site. There's no excuse for it, in my view.
Right.
It's just cost cutting for the wrong reasons. The wrong bit of cost.
Yeah, we'll come up with a list of stories of our mishaps over the years, which weren't our fault. But as I said, when you're working off of, I mean, I can remember being overjoyed when we were at Scar and we got widescreen television.
We started on a little thing. It was a little portable.
So it was square.
And I remember because the tapes had been, a tape had left in, and it was like burned onto the screen, wasn't it? It basically said eject tape or something like that, burned onto across the screen. And I remember doing a game, did it with Trevor Francis, and it was Valencia, and Vicente scored. And I remember thinking, probably Vicente, I'll say, you know, in the early days of me doing it. And I got home and watched it at home. I thought, it was Vicente. That's handy. Because I had a better telly at home than they had at Sky. Anyway.
Good fun.
Yes. Reminiscing about, anyway. Yes. So, anyway, more importantly, watch the football this weekend, and we'll be back to talk about it next week. So we'll see you then.